Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, September 9th. I'm Ray Graff. Support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital, working to bring doctors closer together to collaborate and closer to the hospital to improve patient care. I trust saratogahospital.org for information. Joining us this afternoon for Medical Monday is Dr. Yvette Gutman of Southwestern Vermont Healthcare, an athlete herself. She is here to answer your sports medicine questions. I don't think we've ever had a quarterback on this program, so this is a first for the show. Our number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org, but the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Yvette Gutman, Sports Medicine, on Vox Pop Medical Monday after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us on this Medical Monday is Dr. Yvette Gutman of Southwestern Vermont Healthcare. She is here to take your sports medicine questions. This is one of the most interesting CVs we've ever had on this program. Dr. Gutman is board certified in both pediatrics and primary care sports medicine. She earned her medical degree in Costa Rica and completed fellowship training in primary care sports medicine at Albany Medical Center. In addition, Dr. Gutman played professionally as a record-breaking quarterback for the Independent Women's Football League's Orlando Stars and was captain of the Orlando Mayhem. At the amateur level, she has participated in adventure races, basketball, mountain and road cycling, snowboarding, tennis, and volleyball. She was the team physician at the University of Miami Athletic Department and has provided medical coverage for the New York Giants training camp in Albany back in the good old days when they had a training camp in Albany. She has also provided medical coverage for Siena College, Lake Placid Ironman, and Florida Ironman. Dr. Gutman practices in Bennington, Vermont, and Hoosick Falls, New York. If you have a question about sports medicine, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But that number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Yvette Gutman, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Wow. You played professional football. Before we start with the sports medicine, tell me about that.
Yeah, so I did. When I graduated from medical school, I heard about this Women's Professional Tackle Football League, and I thought it was an opportunity to do something that I've always wanted to do my entire life and never had the ability to do because there was just nothing out there for women, and that was play football.
And you broke records.
I did.
Tell me about the records you broke.
Yes, I broke bones and I broke records.
You spent some time on the IR?
I did. But so the record that I hold was 7 passing touchdowns in a single game.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I believe Peyton Manning also holds that record with Nick Foles and Drew Brees.
That's a pretty good record.
Yeah.
And do you ever miss it?
Oh, I miss it. All the time.
Yeah?
Yes.
But do you ever get the gang from the office in Vermont and say, hey, let's play a little ball?
I think they know better than to do that. I may never go back into the office.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Yvette Gutman is our guest of Southwestern Vermont Healthcare. She is here to take your sports medicine questions. And you are not a surgeon. This is sports medicine, like primary care, right?
Yeah, correct. So sports medicine, there are sports medicine surgeons, they're orthopedic surgeons for the fellowship in sports medicine, but I'm a primary care sports medicine physician. So it's really a misnomer because it doesn't mean that I'm going to treat only the athletes. I'll also treat, you know, arthritis and weekend warriors and honestly, any type of non-operative orthopedic injury I can usually handle.
What's the most common injury you deal with at the office?
Knees.
Knees.
Knees and shoulders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And is the best thing to do just at a certain age, just sit on the couch and relax and don't worry about the knees?
No, actually, you don't want to do that because then you'll gain weight and then you'll have more of a knee issue.
All right, well, there goes that plan. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Medical Monday, Sports Medicine Today with Dr. Yvette Gutman. And we go now to Glenn in Rotterdam. Glenn, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a question regarding the drink Gatorade. Is it good or bad? Does it cause cancer? Is it you know, good for kids, or does it really replace electrolytes? I mean, what's the verdict on Gatorade?
Yeah, so that's a good question, and I can tell you that we have done a lot of research on the supplemental drinks to include how much of the electrolytes are they actually supplementing, and we know that if you're not doing an exertional activity where you're really going to be sweating for over 1 hour duration, you really don't need it unless you're an excessively salty sweater. specifically for kids, they should stay well hydrated.
Yeah.
However, we've done much studies on all these supplemental drinks, and even for marathons, if it doesn't go longer than an hour, you really just need water to stay hydrated.
All right, Glenn, well, thank you for that. An interesting start to the program. 800-348-2551 is our number. Dr. Yvette Gutman is our guest. Beth in Niskayuna. Beth, you're on.
I missed the part about the surgeon, so I'm going to put this out there anyway.
Okay.
What's your thoughts or training on a complete ACL tear?
So first I would have to insensitively ask your age, because the answer is really dependent on the age.
I'm 55. I did it a few years back.
So ACL repairs in a very active middle-aged or younger adult, and some would even argue that even into the mid to late 50s, if you're very active, you can get an ACL repaired. It will help decrease osteoarthritis in your future because it stabilizes the knee. However, we have Olympic downski heel athletes, and their ACLs are blown, so you can still function. It's just about the
right.
Instability.
The issue is, I mean, mostly I teach dance, but there's issues where it doesn't give. I can't describe it. It gives out, but it's not like it twists and gives. It's so you're saying it's all right. It's that, and it's the cadaver tissue or the other hamstring thing. That's still what's in vogue.
Yeah, there's a couple different tissues that you can use. You can use your own, either the hamstring or the quadricep or the patella bone patella, or you can use that of a cadaver's.
All right, Beth, thanks for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's talk about hamstrings for a minute. And question I had, you know, I'm a Mets fan. It's a tough road for me right about now. Mets fan and then Giants fan in football. So it's going to be an aggravating month or so here. Robinson Cano, famous baseball player, played for the Yankees, played for Seattle, and he's on the Mets now. He's a little older, maybe 36. And August 3rd, August 4th, tore his hamstring.
Yeah.
Okay, now we've had doctors on this show that said, you know, a pulled hamstring, a strain, you're going to be okay in a few weeks if you rest and whatever. This was allegedly a torn hamstring. He came back in slightly less than a month. Is that normal?
So, full disclosure, I do not follow the Mets.
Oh, well, that's why you look so relaxed.
But strains, sprains, and sometimes small tears can be interchangeable vocabulary.
Ah.
And so if this was a complete tear of his hamstring, especially if it was at the insertion, I highly doubt that he would have been able to return in 1 month. If he returned in 1 month, I would more likely say it was an intrasubstance, a small intrasubstance tear or a high-grade strain or sprain that he was able to rehab through.
And a strain or something that might be in the gray area between a tear and a strain, this is not surgery. So what sort of approach would you take in dealing with that?
So if you came and you had a hamstring strain, I would put you into physical therapy. I would rehab you.
Because no medicine, nothing of the kind?
So with strains, you're going to have a normal inflammatory process, and you're going to have, if you tore some of it, you're going to have a lot of bruising. And You know, I'm a firm believer that the body knows what to do, and the art of medicine is to entertain the patient long enough for the body to heal itself.
Ha! Well, that's very interesting.
And so you need some of these inflammatory markers to kind of heal appropriately. You don't want a failed healing process.
In your football career, what was the worst injury you had?
I had a fractured dislocation of my right hip. It was bad.
That's a career ender, right?
Well, it was for a year.
And you came back.
I came back, and that's when I broke my records.
Now, we had Bo Jackson, who played both football and baseball in the 80s, and I believe he took a hit when he was playing for the Raiders on the football side, injured his hip, and he was done.
He has insurance.
Well, he hasn't. Well, you make a point. All right, let's take a break. Our number is 800-348-2551. It's Medical Monday. Dr. Yvette Gutman is here to answer your sports medicine questions. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC Medical Monday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Dr. Yvette Gutman is here from Southwestern Vermont Healthcare. We talk sports medicine today. She was a professional football player. She's also done amateur adventure races, basketball, mountain, road cycling, snowboarding, tennis, and volleyball. In short, the opposite of a radio broadcaster. She seems very fit. This email came in, Doc. This is from James. I'm a 31-year-old male, physically fit, work out 4 days a week. I have been Olympic lifting for about 4 to 5 years. I have recently developed shoulder pain in my left arm only when I low bar back squat. The pain is felt where the triceps lateral head meets the deltoid. I have tried testing it for a few months, but I'm still unable to get under the bar. My overhead pressing motion is not affected. Would you have any ideas to fix this? I miss my squats, and that's from James.
Hi, James. So, so it sounds like you may be having a little bit of what we call impingement, which is when you pinch one of your rotator cuffs, specifically the supraspinatus. Now, this isn't an appropriate diagnosis over the radio.
You can't do that. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm ballparking that that's what I think you have. And it's probably because you are using your big muscles and you aren't concentrating on strengthening your small rotator cuff muscles, which are the shoulder stabilizing muscles. And we neglect these because no one really wants to go in the gym and be lifting 2 or 5 pound weights. They want to be doing these Olympic lifts. But at some point, these muscles give, and that's when we get shoulder pain.
Very interesting. Now, I know that you're a Pats fan.
Yes,
and
I am.
They did very well last night against the Steelers. Tom Brady getting up there.
Yes.
You played the position. How long does Tom Brady have before he has to retire?
Well,
he's 41, 42?
Yeah, I think he's 42, but don't quote me on that. I think he wants to go to 45, and I am his biggest cheerleader to do that. I think he's doing all the right things by, having a good O-line. Okay,
yeah.
That's super important.
Well, sure.
And he treats his body like a temple. He you are what you eat, and he's, I believe, a vegan, and he works a lot off-season with a massage therapist and doing all sorts of mind and body kind of activities.
Well, he can afford it.
I sure can.
But, I mean, here's the thing. An athlete, I mean, you look at Muhammad Ali or any of these great athletes, at some point that mind is still willing, but the body says, you're done, man. You've had it.
So I think that's one of the things that where Brady kind of differs from some of the other quarterbacks is that Brady doesn't get hit that often.
Well,
he really doesn't get hit that often. Yeah, he had a really bad injury a couple years ago with his ACL.
Did you see any of the Super Bowls with the Giants? He got hit pretty good.
He did.
Yeah, remember that? They
he
were
did.
Fun, weren't they?
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jim and Matamoros. Jim, you're on.
Can Dupuytren's contracture be precipitated by extreme repetitive overuse of certain muscle groups?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Jim. And if you're suffering from Dupuytren's contracture, that's not great.
All right, what is it?
So Dupuytren's contracture is when you have a fibrous tissue in the palm of your hand that is producing what we call a flexion of your digits. And do you have the hand of the dictator, Jim? Do you have this issue going on yet?
Well, I was playing auto body mechanic on my car and... I was twisting
up and duct tape to try to push a dent out. And now my index and little finger are stiffening up. And,
Yeah, so you may have just injured specifically those muscles or those digits. You would know if you had a Dupuytren's contracture. It's a very painful diagnosis.
So likely that with rest, Jim's
rest hand... and ice.
Okay.
Yep.
Ice. So you're an ice person. We've had physical therapists on here. They're not so keen on ice. I've always heard ice 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off, that sort of thing.
Yep. I think ice is nature's natural anti-inflammatory agent. And I also believe that ice can do a body good even past the first 48, 72 hours of injury.
Mm-hmm. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Yvette Gutman is here. We talk sports medicine. And now let's go to Kathy in Slingerlands. Kathy, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Gutman. Good afternoon. I have an almost 8-year-old, and about 6 months ago, she, in gymnastics, was just doing a simple drill and hurt her ankle, small fracture, went to rehab for it, and then while it was getting better and she was still in the hard cast, she injured the other ankle, and it was right on the growth plate, and she rested it, and over the summer was, by the end of June, was okay. So then she had a great summer doing all different camps. Now she's back at school, and again, she came home this week saying the left ankle is hurting her. So we iced it, but I'm just wondering, if I take her back to the doctor, is it something that's going to, you know, affect her for years to come growing up? Do you think, will it always be sensitive, that area?
Hi, Kathy. So I'm sorry to hear that about your daughter. So, you know, kids are... amazing, and they can heal in ways that just adults can't. And any fracture that occurred in your child's ankle, especially if it was along the growth plate, should have probably healed in about 4 to 6 weeks. Now, it's possible that she may have sprained her ankle at the same time that she got a fracture, and though the fracture has healed and was tended to, perhaps the sprain can use some therapy, and the surrounding structures of her foot and ankle can use some strengthening.
Okay. So it will, do you think, though, that that area may be, even though it's healed, it will be sensitive for years to come, do you think?
No, it shouldn't be. That would not be normal.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Kathy, all thanks right. a lot for the call. Our number on Medical Monday is 800-348-2551. You mentioned the amazing ability for younger people to heal. And every now and then you hear pro ball player, whatever sport, busted for HGH. What does human growth hormone actually do for a grown-up in healing? You have no idea?
No. So, human growth hormone, as far as healing goes, it can speedy all of this up a little bit, but it also has a lot of risks to it.
Yeah.
So we don't really...
I know you don't suggest it. I'm saying that that's why they get busted for it. But what is it supposed to do that these players will take it and risk being suspended for it?
So it's supposed to make you feel better faster because it's supposed to help heal a little bit faster, the tissues and such.
And the side
hormones right?
The side effects would be? I mean, why is it banned?
So there's really not enough studies out in it just yet as far as what the side effects would be. But if you're pumping extra hormones into your body...
Not a good plan.
We know this isn't a good thing,
All right, Dr. Yvette Gutman, I didn't mean... I know that you're not suggesting that anyone should do it. It was just a question about why some athletes do it. All right, let's go back to the phones before I get into any more trouble. Ian is on. Ian, you're on.
I had a question about the relationship of... concussions and hyperbaric chambers. I don't know if you know anything about it, but I heard a lot of soldiers that get caught in IEDs, when they come back, they put them into a hyperbaric chamber, and it can actually cure that part of the brain that was damaged. Do pro athletes use that?
Not to my knowledge. There's a lot of talk about concussions and how to prevent these and how to treat them. And there's vestibular rehab, and there's all sorts of, there's even some oral medication that we use for prolonged concussion symptoms. I have not heard of hyperbaric chamber for the use of treating a concussion, besides the fact that a concussion really should resolve within 4 weeks, and if it doesn't, well, then you can start, you know, thinking about oral medications or maybe vestibular rehab. But I have not heard about hyperbaric chamber.
Ian, thanks for the call. What medication would you prescribe for something like that?
It's called amitriptyline, but you really shouldn't be on it until we do at least an EKG and we make sure that the heart's okay.
Okay. Every time I ask a question, it looks like you're admonishing me. All right. I won't say anything more for the rest of the show. Let's go to Linda in Saratoga.
Well, you're a Giants fan.
Hey, you betcha. Linda in Saratoga, you're on.
Hi. I was recently diagnosed with lupus, and I'm having a challenging time extending my digits, specifically my right hand. The fingers just don't unbend very easy. And I'm wondering what the current treatment for something like that is.
So I'm sorry to hear that you were diagnosed with that. But I think the real question here is, what exactly is the diagnosis of why your fingers aren't extending properly? Because it may or may not be lupus. It may or may not be a rheumatoid arthritis issue. It may or may not be a flexion contracture issue. And so you really got to go to which part is, you know, what's causing your fingers not to extend properly, and then address that. I wouldn't just put everything under the umbrella of, oh, well, it must be lupus, because perhaps it may be something else.
Well, I'm suggesting that because a lot of blood work and x-rays were done and confirmed lupus, because the original thinking was rheumatoid arthritis. But you think it could be something else, is what you're saying? Because they said the blood work confirms lupus.
Yeah, so but lupus doesn't necessarily always make fingers not extend. Lupus is an immune compromised system, right? So it does a lot of other things with other systems.
Okay. So
every time you have knee pain, you don't really want to blame lupus, right? You want to kind of get to the bottom of what's causing that knee pain, and not just throw your hands up in the air and be like, oh, it must be lupus, because, you know, maybe it's not, and maybe there is a cure out there for that.
So how do I discern if it's something else? I'm going to the doctor's in a couple of weeks. So she wants to check the effectiveness of the cream I've been taking. Diclofenac? Yeah.
So diclofenac's an anti-inflammatory cream, and they're probably just trying to see if this is an inflammatory issue, as rheumatoid arthritis mostly is inflammatory in nature.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that if you go either in the hands of a rheumatologist or an orthopedist or a sports medicine physician, then I think that you need to just buy into what they're saying, because they know what they're doing, and they'll help you figure it out.
Linda, thank you very much for the call. It's Medical Monday on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Yvette Gutman of Southwestern Vermont Healthcare is taking your sports medicine questions today. Brian in Saratoga Springs is next. Brian.
Hello, Ray. Hello, doctor. I had a question regarding functional scoliosis and how I can help to mitigate it and the pain it causes in my upper back on like a daily basis.
So the spine is something that we do see as sports medicine physicians, but this degree of scoliosis to the point that it's producing pain is really outside of our specialty. But I can tell you that increasing the core muscle strength would definitely help alleviate some of the pain that you're feeling from the scoliosis, as well as working some of your scapular stabilizing muscles.
Okay, awesome. I'll have to try that. Kind of core exercises like planks and stuff like that, or how can I work the scapula?
Well, the scapula and the core are two different muscle groups, right? So that with the working the scapula, a good physical therapy program would always be helpful. But the scapula is very much in charge of moving the shoulder joint more than what folks think. And so by strengthening some of the shoulder and upper back muscles, like doing butterflies in an eccentric way, this would also be very helpful for your scapular muscles.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much, doctor.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Yvette Gutman, our guest today on this Medical Monday. It's sports medicine, and we go to Julie in Chatham. Julie, you're on.
Hi, Dr. Gutman. My question regards plantar fasciitis. which I developed about 5 years ago, and it's largely resolved, but I still feel pain. And I was, I've talked to so many people in my age group, 50s, 60s, who've had it, and it seems like, the common thread, despite the treatment, is that it resolved within a year or two. And I still experience, a fair amount of pain. I'm active, I bike, but, I have to moderate how much I walk, and I can't wear anything except Birkenstocks, which, it's not ideal.
Yeah, so you actually, plantar fasciitis, we see a lot of plantar fasciitis in our office. It's unfortunately a very painful diagnosis and something that we see a lot of.
And how do you get it?
So you can get it for multiple ways. It really starts, it's in the foot, right? So it's heel pain.
Yep.
But it really has to do with a tight calf muscle.
Oh.
And that's how it starts. And you can get it with weight gain. You can get it with overuse or pounding of your heel. You can get it with improper shoe wear. And you can get it because you have a tight either Achilles tendon or a very tight calf muscle.
Mm.
And so I use physical therapy very much with plantar fasciitis, but I cannot emphasize more that it really starts in the medial calf muscle. And so I ask the therapist to do a lot of manual therapy into this area to start loosening up the fascia of the foot from the gastrocnemius muscle.
Can it be fully cured, or is it always chronic at that point?
It really depends. So it depends if there's a bone spur, if we see a bone spur or not on x-ray, which, Julie, you may have a bone spur, and this is why it continues to kind of irritate you. The bone spur is not going to go away, but the pain can. You just have to continue to be flexible into your calf muscle, to wear proper shoes. Birkenstocks obviously are very comfortable around the heel, and that's why you're having some alleviation of your pain with these. But it's a tough diagnosis. Yeah.
All right, Julie, thanks for the call. Now, if a pro athlete or a high level collegiate athlete has a plantar fasciitis, is that a warning sign that there could be Achilles issues down the road?
I don't know if one necessarily leads to the other, but we know that for your calf muscle to be tight, your Achilles cord needs to be tight. And if you have Achilles tendonitis and it develops into a little bump in the Achilles tendon, then we know that you're not far from an Achilles tear. So the plantar fascia, you're more likely to tear the plantar fascia and thus no longer need a surgical plantar, fasciitis
right.
Fix.
Does the pain go away at that point?
Oh, yeah, you've ruptured it and you're all set.
Do you need it?
It's very, very painful, though.
Oh, the actual injury
is
painful.
If you rupture the plantar fascia, yeah.
But after the pain goes away, then you're fine. Well, why do you need it? Why do you need it then?
Well, it helps maintain the integrity and the form of your arch and your foot. I mean, I don't recommend people just go and say, take it out, because it's not something that you want to do. There's a lot of risks with that too, right? Like it should resolve your pain, but perhaps it doesn't.
Mm.
And then now maybe, we turn you and now you're more flat footed or you have other issues with your
heel. It's not like taking an appendix out.
No, unfortunately, no.
Our guest today is Dr. Yvette Gutman. We talk sports medicine today. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Home stretch coming up. Fox Pop Medical Monday, 800-348-2551 is the number. We talk sports medicine today with Dr. Yvette Gutman of Southwestern Vermont Healthcare. Dr. Gutman, you played ball for a good long time. Are there any days when maybe it's chilly and damp where you feel achy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You always hear ball players talk about that.
Yeah. You become weather people.
But you don't regret it.
Oh, no. No regrets.
This email came in from Mary. Have you worked with young people recovering from PAO surgery for hip dysphagia? What do you suggest? Quit the sport or play?
Yeah, so hip dysplasia, you're kind of born with that. I have not worked with anyone with that. It really depends on how far along the symptoms are and whatnot. But I mean, most patients with hip dysplasia are probably looking at a hip replacement at some point in their future, just because this can be a painful diagnosis.
This one is from MJ. What leg strengthening exercises are recommended for active seniors? Squats, lunges, wall sits, etc.?
Okay, so I'm actually going to say something on the radio you maybe get a lot of kickback from.
Oh, splendid.
I do not believe that squats and lunges should be done after the age of approximately 40 years old.
Why?
Because we do them wanting to increase the strength into our muscles and to improve our buttocks. But oftentimes we don't have proper form. And if you don't have proper form, where the knee does not surpass the toe when you go down on a lunge or you go down on a squat, you're actually doing more harm than good.
Okay.
And there are other ways to strengthen these muscles without hurting your knee, especially specifically behind the kneecap.
Why would you think we'd get kickback for that?
Because all women like to do squats and lunges.
You're not recommending go to the early bird buffet, right?
No.
Stay active.
Yes.
This one's from Roxanne, who writes, I'd like to know, are cortisone injections used for midfoot arthritis to reduce pain and inflammation? And if so, do you have to go to a podiatrist, or do ortho doctors also administer?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So steroid injections are good for arthritic symptoms. Some patients do find it helpful with foot and ankle issues. Podiatrists are very good at giving these injections, as they're specialists in the foot and ankle. There are orthopedics that specialize in foot and ankle arthritis, as well as other pathologies, and I'm sure they are very affluent in performing these injections as well.
Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551, the number. Dr. Yvette Gutman of Southwestern Vermont Healthcare is here to talk sports medicine. B in Sullivan County. Hello, B.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I have another hip-related question and then another one about cortisone shots. So I trained for a half marathon, and after 8 weeks of training, I got extreme pain in my hip, so I couldn't put weight on it anymore. I got to the doctor, went to the doctor, and he said I have bursitis. So we did acupuncture. And now my question is, when can I go back to running? I have to admit, I did it already twice, and now it feels like the pain is creeping back into that hip.
Yeah, so bursitis, so where does your hip hurt? On the lateral side?
Actually, when it was the worst, the whole hip hurt. Now, it was on the lateral side, but now it's kind of moving closer to my adductors.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, if you got a good diagnosis, then you gotta go with that. When can you start running? Well, I think ample rest is important from running. Obviously, the repetitive injury of that weight-bearing activity has brought you to where you are today. I think you need to strengthen the surrounding muscles of your hip and pelvic region. And then I think you have to, what many people do wrong is that they do too much too soon. So you have to slowly progress in your mileage. You just can't go back to you know, running 6 miles if you haven't ran for weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else I can do? Stretching?
Yeah, so stretching is very good for our muscles, and I'm a firm believer in stretching. Strength without flexibility is injury, and flexibility without strength is injury. Yeah. So stretching is good, yes.
Yeah. So, and I'm from Europe, so in Europe they say you shouldn't have you should have as little cortisone shots as possible. And the doctor originally wanted to give me a shot into that hip. I was like, no, let's try something else first. Is that true or is it not true?
So I do not like to use a steroid very frequently. We do know that too much steroid in any one particular joint can degenerate the cartilage and tissue more than help improve the pain. It is a good option if you, you know, try it once to see if it can kind of help get you off of that acute pain cycle to get you, you know, stretching and running again. But I wouldn't be using it, you know, more than maybe 4 times a year or so.
Okay, B, thanks for the call. Now, I have heard, only from watching sports on TV, that when you get a cortisone shot, the doctor has to be extremely precise in the location of that shot, or it really won't do anything.
So it really depends where we're talking. So I use ultrasound when I go to give hip injections or inside the shoulder injections, because there's a lot of vasculature around there and you do really want to be precise. And we get some good results with that. There are some areas such as the lateral side of the hip for greater trochanteric bursitis, or the subacromial bursa in the posterior portion of the shoulder, where, or even in the knee, where you can do blindly and maybe have, I don't know, an 80% efficacy, just putting steroid in the general area where the pain is.
Now, why wouldn't you do an ultrasound, say, in a knee and get it 100%?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And more times than not, it has to do with insurance. They won't pay for it.
It's all about money. Okay.
They won't pay for it unless there are certain criterias that are met.
So what you're saying is, for the insurance company's purposes, 80% efficacy is enough. Is that it?
Well, you'll have to ask them.
Well done.
For the knee specifically, we do know that there is good results with landmark-guided injections. For the hip, you can't give a landmark-guided injection into the intra-articular hip. You just can't. And for the shoulder, you can't. So in places that you can use anatomical landmarks to give these injections and we're still having good results, Okay. Yeah, the insurance just aren't budging.
Congratulations. You passed the diplomacy test for the program. And now let's go back to the phones. Hello, is this Yvette in Albany? Hello? Oh, boy, you're gone. I'm sorry. Let's go now to Phil. Phil in Saratoga. Phil.
Good afternoon, Ray. Good afternoon, Dr. Gutman. I have a question about lower leg muscle cramps. I frequently get these at night, and they are painful enough to wake me up. I almost can't stand because it's so painful. And I have found that if I take a calcium tablet, a magnesium tablet, and drink Gatorade during the day, I'm less likely to have this happen. So I have to wonder if it's electrolytes or calcium and magnesium. Any other suggestions or thoughts?
Yeah. So, hi, Phil. How you doing?
Well, right now, good. But good. I may be in pain tonight.
Yeah. So we need you to get some sleep. So I think you're on the right track. So a lot of times we get these muscle cramps at nighttime. And yes, more times than not, it can be an electrolyte deficiency. But it could also be that perhaps you're deficient in potassium or something else. So I think that though you are on the right track, that maybe a good a blood test to kind of see where you're deficient, if you are deficient, could be preventative. The other thing that your primary care may be able to do is this may be, you know, hand in hand with something called restless leg syndrome that also will keep you up at night. So I think that this, you know, warrants a visit to your primary.
All right, Phil, thank you for the call. Now let's try Yvette in Albany and hope she's there. Are you there? Hello?
Hi, you try to find Yvette?
Yeah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on with the other Yvette.
Yes, hi, Yvette.
Hi, Yvette.
And we spell it the right way with an I.
Very
yes,
nice.
Correct.
My question is, my daughter, who's 13, is a competitive springboard diver. Mm-hmm. She's been doing it about 2-3 years now. And my question is more, you know, how do we help, you know, really work on preventing injuries? She already did suffer injuries when she was doing gymnastics. So now, you know, I really want to avoid that as she continues her diving career.
So that's a good question, because prevention is the best medicine. So with divers, they tend to put their back in extension quite a bit, and so they can get a lot of lower back pain from this. So to prevent this, she has to maintain very good flexibility into her hamstrings and a good strong core.
Okay.
And if she does that, then long-term effects can be mitigated?
Well, if she does that, hopefully she won't be injured.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically is stay flexible.
And strong in the core.
And strong in the core.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
She's working on that.
Good.
Well,
thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks
good luck
for calling.
Her.
And now to Emily in Gardner, New York. Emily, you're on.
Hi, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. I've had an annoying shoulder injury. I believe not necessarily from a sports injury, but from putting a laptop case over my left shoulder quite frequently. It's painful to take it up from my side up to my shoulder, and I can't bring it past that at all. And sometimes when the arm is just laying, I'm sitting and the arm is just flaccid down to my side, I have to concentrate to actually get that arm to move upwards or anywhere because there seems to be some kind of a disconnect. And I've been thinking that it might be a rotator cuff injury, but I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, so it certainly sounds like that. And the worrisome portion of your history is that it's been about 6 months. So it does sound like you may have torn a rotator cuff tendon, and you really want to get seen by an orthopedist because you don't want those tendons, if they did fully tear, to retract away from each other because that makes the surgery harder and the recovery a little bit harder. But if you're not having more range of motion, more than about 90 coming up from your side, you likely injured your rotator cuff.
With ice, I intermittently use ice to alleviate some of the discomfort. It seems to be better the following day.
Yeah, so ice will help with pain. Ice will help with pain, but that's not going to give you back your mobility, especially if it's, you know, completely torn. You need a good diagnosis. You have to see if you're a surgical candidate, if that's something that you want to endure, and if not, you got to be put into physical therapy for a prolonged period of time to get your motion back.
Okay, thank you so much, doctor. Enjoy your day.
You can actually survive as a regular civilian with a torn rotator cuff without surgery?
Yes.
Just by compensating with other...
That's right. That's
interesting.
Right.
All right. Over to Joe in Schuylerville. Joe.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Previous in the program, the doctor mentioned the use of ice for inflammation. Is the gel packs that I get at a pharmacy good for that, or should I strictly use ice?
Yeah. No. I mean, we just want cold treatment, right? You can even put frozen peas if you're having them for dinner on your knee before you drop them in the hot pot.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah, that should suffice.
Okay, I have a second question. I've been diagnosed with a torn meniscus many years ago, and I've lived with it, strengthened my knee and so forth. It's getting a little more painful now. Removal of the meniscus, is there risk to that, like arthritis or anything?
Yeah, so any person that tore their meniscus, we would surgically remove it and no problem. It was a knee-jerk reaction. And now we know we don't remove the meniscus just because it's torn anywhere, you know, between 35 and above. We really try not to remove the meniscus because it's the shocks of your knees. So it's like the shocks of the car. You remove the shocks of the car and the tires are going to bulge faster.
Yeah.
So we really try and do exactly what you've been doing, Joe, is to try and strengthen the surrounding muscles and try and work through the pain because, yes, if you remove the meniscus, you will get osteoarthritis at a faster pace.
So try to avoid the surgery.
I would.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. Quickly over to Joanne in South Hadley. Joanne, you're on.
Hi. This is a question regarding strengthening for elders. My town is going to be putting in a new senior center. And currently, there is no exercise facility, but there are yoga and Tai Chi kind of classes offered. What are your thoughts about exercise equipment for elders? I'm talking people in their 60s, 70s and up. You know, what are the best pieces of equipment maybe we should have in our senior center?
So I think it's wonderful that there is a senior center, and I know that the question is not about Tai Chi, but I would just like to tell all of your listeners, Ray, that Tai Chi for the elderly is one of the best activities and exercises that you can do to prevent falls. It's very good for coordination and balance. If you yourself, Joanne, can get into a Tai Chi course, you should. It would benefit you. Now, okay. As far as what your real question was, okay. I would just do... free weights. I really, you know, I would hesitate putting true machines in a facility with seniors because it can create injuries because perhaps you're just not strong enough to do the full range of motion or circuit that machine wants you to do. And so I think that with free weights, you're much safer. I think that bands would also be a good idea to put in there. I think that a cage for flexibility would be a good idea to put in there.
What's a cage for flexibility?
It just has different compartments where you can like put a leg up and it's just for flexing, kind of contort your body with some assistance.
Okay.
But yeah.
It seems counterintuitive to me that free weights would be more safe for older or very younger than machines.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, with machines, they'll take you through that range of, even if you don't put it on a weight, right? It'll take you through that full range of motion.
Right.
And if you start to develop fatigue, it will kind of, you know, rip your shoulders back. And this can hurt their tissues.
What about elliptical machines and things like that?
So elliptical machine is fantastic. So elliptical, treadmill, and stationary bicycles, I think, are musts in a senior center because the bicycle and the elliptical are non-weight-bearing.
Yeah.
And so this is good for folks that have joint pain where they can continue to develop strength without, you know, pouncing on their joints like you would on a treadmill, for example.
All right, let's jump over to Karen in Heath, Massachusetts. Karen, you're on.
Oh, hey there. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So I'm kind of confused. I fell off the roof 2.5 years ago. I went, did some damage to the SI joint, broke my back, and I'm a farmer, so I just kept going. They did not diagnose the fracture for a long time. And then I went to go get my SI joint fused, and the surgeon said, you need a total hip replacement first. So I got that done. Things were good. But I had the adductors on the inside leg were really messed up. And he said, well, that's not, you had that before, so that's not my problem. So within a few months, just after being back at work on the farm, the other hip went really down. It's bone on bone. And I never had hip problems before. But the adductor on the right is also feeling really badly torn. I'm going to get the other hip done. But in the meantime, I am walking with two canes trying to keep the farm going. And I'm wondering, is it bad to keep on pushing and working and walking even though it's uncomfortable? I'd use the two canes. It's hard. But, I mean, I'm being told by one physical therapist, don't do anything if it hurts. The other one says, do whatever you can to keep going because the hip is new. The other hip is new. So I'm just kind of wondering what your thoughts are when the adductors are misbehaving.
So when you say adductors, you mean the muscles on the inside of your thighs, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's what helps our hip internally rotate and also bring our hip in towards our body and not out from our body. With right. arthritis and pain, I usually say let pain be your guide. Most of the times you want to work up to the pain and not necessarily through the pain. You're having pain for a reason, and it's usually because your body is saying, you know, this is a little bit too much. You don't want to go to the point of no return with your adductors so that after you get a hip replacement, you just can't, you know, come back with the muscle strength.
Yeah.
So you want to be careful.
All right, Karen, that is where we will have to leave it. Dr. Yvette Gutman of Southwestern Vermont Healthcare, did you have fun?
I did.
Yeah, was it as fun as playing on a football game?
It was not.
It was not. Good. Thank you for being honest. Support comes from Albany Cardiothoracic Surgeons, providing patient-centered heart surgery for over 40 years in the Capital Region. Practicing cardiac surgery at St. Peter's Hospital, ACTSURG.com. Once again, thanks to Dr. Yvette Gutman of Southwestern Vermont Healthcare for being here today. Tremendous calls. Great job, everybody. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Joe Makowitz for answering the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the big program at 2 p.m. Oh, boy. Mark Lawson will be here. to assess your antiques. So find your antiques. We'll assess them right now. Stand by for the Media Project.